Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. So, revivalists, go on our website at www.wearethebride.us and register. Go on WATB-registration and register your ministry so that we can have you on the broadcast to feature what God is doing in your life. Also, there's a place on there for you to subscribe to our blogs. Every time we book a speaker, it shoots out all over the world to the people that are subscribed. Also, to you people listening in across the world, we have WATB Nations. Go on the website and register your nations. And also, people, listen, please pray for the revival across the land. This broadcast today is so prophetic. So pray, because God is moving. Amen. Hello, Bride. Are you a writer? Or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Hello, God. This is Stephanie Daniel, and I'm out of I will be interviewing Pastor Muriel Mackay today. Hello, Pastor Muriel.
Hello, Stephanie.
I'm so glad to hear your voice. You have a great, sweet, strong voice, and we're glad to have you on the air to share your story. What ministry are you with?
I am with Wings of Faith Healing and Deliverance Ministries in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Do you have a street address for that in case people who are listening might get a chance to come and visit you?
Yes. Right now we are located at 136 10th Street and a half in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Okay, we love Clarksville, Tennessee. And I also want to say, give a shout out to June Dawn Knight. She is the owner and host of WATB, and we just want to say we love her and thank God for the heart God's given her to honor ministers, ministries, and the Bride of Christ. And we just want to tell June, we love you, June, and we appreciate everything you're doing for God's people. Amen. Okay,
amen.
Pastor Muriel, you also pastor with your husband, Michael, and you've been married for about 35 years, and God has given you a great story to tell. Would you mind just starting out sharing a few things about your walk with the Lord and what got you to this point of being sold out to doing deliverance ministry for the Lord?
Well, a little bit of my background is I came from a home that, even though there were two parents in the home, it was still very dysfunctional. I came from a home where there was verbal and physical abuse. My parents took us to church, but God was never in the home. It was one way out in public, but another way inside. And as the oldest of 9 children, I was the one that got most of the wrath from my dad. I lived in fear of him. I respected him out of fear. I was not a child that talked back to my parents. You just didn't do that back then like children do today. Mm-hmm. But my respect for him was one of fear. It was not one of love. And as I grew older, I always had said in my mind that when I got older, I was leaving home. And I would always tell my mother, when I get 18, mm-hmm. I'm leaving. But I left home at the age of 14. And I became very promiscuous. At that age, you couldn't get a job. So I turned to prostitution at the age of 14. I was turned away from home. I was always told that if I ever got pregnant, I could never come back home. So that always stayed in my mind. And so I was there. The doors were closed to me. If you can imagine a 14-year-old girl walking the street in the dead of winter, and then I'm from Minnesota, so it gets very cold there. And with nowhere to go, nowhere to sleep, unless I laid down and gave up my body for a night to sleep in a warm bed. As I said, I left home when I was 14. I ended up in a homeschool for girls, which I spent about 5 years. After that, I was released. I got pregnant with my first child at 18, had nowhere to go, so I went back to the girls' home and had my oldest child in the girls' institution. From there, I got into drugs. I had lost my children's dad. I was 25 years old with 6 babies, no parental help, nothing. And I got into drugs along with the prostitution. After my children's dad got killed, I had a suicidal spirit. And I had said these words: the only man that I ever love is dead, and a part of me has went with him. I didn't know anything about vows or about how you could actually tie yourself up with words that you were speaking. Mm-hmm. And so I had tied myself up even from the time of a child, because I never wanted to have children and I never wanted to be married because of the example that I saw of marriage in my home growing up. So I had always said I would never, ever get married. Isn't it funny? Because the 21st of this month of May, I'll be married to my husband 35 years and the mother of 6 children. Yes. But I had made those inner vows, and what had happened was is those inner vows had took root. And because I was looking for someone to love me, the same type of men that my dad was, those were the same type of men that I had. With my last attempt of suicide, they told me that my heart had stopped beating and that I was actually gone. I thank God, because it was nobody but him that brought me back. But when I came to myself, I was in the hospital. I was actually in the psych ward, and I was strapped to the bed. And I did not know that they hold you because you can be a threat to yourself. Wow. So they had a 72-hour hold on me. And it didn't stop there, Stephanie, because I was steady trying to kill myself. I was steady. I had set the bed afire one time with me in it. And just so happened my brothers were there and called the fire department. I had taken an overdose of pills and slept for 3 days, and my brothers just thought I was high. And my girlfriends came over and got me up. And the last time around, I told my children, I said, it's not meant for me to go. I'm going to wait until y'all get grown, and then I'm going to check out of here. Those were my plans. But God had another plan.
Okay, Pastor Muriel, I don't really want to stop you, but I've got to stop you because you have said something so powerful. I'm feeling the Lord on some things you're saying. And one of the things is you're talking about inner vows. Now, can you tell the bride and the listening audience more about how do we make an inner vow? I feel like a lot of people are not educated in this, and or some mm-hmm. of us that are, we'd like to know more information. How do we make an inner vow, and what does that do to us when we do? And is there an example maybe of somebody else that you maybe minister to that has made an inner vow?
Well, inner vows are things that we say. We don't know how powerful our words are, even growing up as children. And we can say things like I did, like I'll never be married, or I don't want a husband like my dad, you know, or I can low self-esteem. You can be made to feel like you're ugly, so you'll go and say I'm ugly. And what you've done is if you've given those words power, and without knowing that there's an adversary that can hold you in bondage to those words. When I made that vow about my children's dad, I did not know that I was actually surrendering a part of my life to a man that was dead.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and it kept me from truly loving my husband. Mm-hmm. And I have dealt with people in our ministry that have made just those type of vows, maybe even some a little bit more rash, harder than mine. And when I begin to minister unto them and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, then they are set free from those bondages. They're called taproot bondages. And so we go to the root of the thing mm-hmm. and find out where it came from, rejection and so on. And we go to the root of it. And once we get to the root, then we can uproot everything else in there.
So let me ask you a question. So when you made that vow, to help me understand, and anybody else who's listening, and I'm sure I know you have a lot of experience, you and I have spoken. When you made that vow to not have a man like your father, but yet and still, did those very words cause you to run into men like your father? If that's so, explain to us how that works.
Exactly. I had, because my father was abusive, verbally and physically, mm-hmm. the men that I had were just like him, verbally and physically abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing was, I'll never have anybody like my dad. I'll never have anybody treat me like my dad. But I had said those words, and lo and behold, those were the type of men. I had set myself up for those type of men.
Hmm.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And those type of men were verbally and physically abusive. They were just like the man that I did not want to have.
So we make those inner vows. We make what's called an inner vow is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. We speak it. We speak it, or at times we don't even have to speak it. We can just think it. I'm going to the scripture where it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Even growing up, I never thought that I was pretty. I'm just going to say, just be raw and open, because I was the darkest child in my family. Mm-hmm. I was always made to feel ashamed of being black.
Wow.
So when anybody told me that I was pretty, I would thank you, but on the inside,
right?
No, I'm not, because I'm too black to be pretty.
Right. So you had made inner vows that really said you weren't worthy of a good man, that somehow that verbal abuse made you feel unworthy, and so you had made inward vows. That your inward vow was saying, your mouth was saying, I'll never have a man like my father, but on the inside, you felt like you didn't deserve anything good because you didn't
exactly.
feel pretty. You didn't
yes.
feel up. Okay,
yes.
I just felt to stop you. That's why I stopped you there, because I feel like, or not, you know, I think it's pretty fair to say that a lot of people don't even know, are not aware that we can make inward vows. So I didn't want to stop you. You were talking about you had set your bed on fire, you tried to commit suicide because you had also made a vow that you linked yourself with your husband or a man. Was he your, he probably wasn't, was he your husband?
No, he wasn't my husband. He was my man.
He was the
father of my children. Mm-hmm.
Right, he was the father of your children. I just didn't want to tell the story incorrectly. So you had vowed yourself to a man, the father of your children, that you, that part of you has died. You had gotten up involved in a soul tie with him because you were not in a covenant with God with him, so that lets you open to demonic attack. So when
mm-hmm.
he died, that spirit of death lingered to you, which formed in suicide. And so go ahead with your story. When you finally decided to turn to the Lord, what happened when you finally decided to turn to the Lord?
Well, there was a lot of things that happened in between before I gave my life to the Lord. Just to make it short, one of my friends who we used to party together had gotten saved. And I was walking from the store, and I heard this vehicle pull up, and I looked, and it was her, and she was driving a church van. And she asked me if she could take the children to church, and I told her, yeah. And by then I was dating this guy from Trinidad, not knowing again that I was putting myself into another type of bondage. And I told her, yeah. And so she would come and get the children every Sunday and take them to church. And this particular, one particular night, I heard my daughter calling me. And I got up, and as I walked through my house, it was a darkness that I had never seen before in my house. And I walked up to her room, and she said, Mama, she said, there's something in my room. And I would not go in her room. And I stood at the door, and I told her, I said, well, just pray. I said, and ask Jesus to protect you. I said, because Jesus loves you. I don't even know where it came from, and I turned around and walked back downstairs. In the meantime, during the Christmas holidays, Sears was hiring. And so my ex-fiance and I both went out there to apply for the job, but I'm the one that got the job. And this young lady came up to me and asked me, had I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? And I told her everything except yes. Matter of fact, I gave her some few choice words.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, maybe it's the man that you're staying with. And I just tripped out on her again. About a week later, some young ladies came to my door. And I had just got through smoking some marijuana. And they came to my door and asked if they could pray. And I told them, yeah, because it was cold outside. So I told them, yeah. And they prayed. Little did I know that I was being set up. About a month later, this preacher moved down a couple of doors down from me. And my baby boy would get up every morning and ask if he could go to the preacher man's house. And I would, yes, go ahead. One day the preacher man brought him home, and he asked me to write down everybody's name in the house, and he said, I'm going to take it back and pray. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, whatever, go ahead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mother's Day of 1976, I walked into Trinity Tabernacle Church, and when I walked in, everybody was standing. I didn't know that it was altar call. And the pastor got the operating in the gifts, and he began to say, there's somebody here. He said, you've tried to commit suicide. He said, you need Jesus. And he would lean over, and it was like he was looking right at me. It was like he was reading my life. And finally, I just couldn't take it anymore, and I told my ex-fiance, I said, move. I said, he's talking to me. And I left that man in that pew, and I walked down the aisle, and when I walked down the aisle to the altar, Jesus was waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I got down on my knees, and I didn't say a word. I just cried.
Mm-hmm.
And God understood my tears.
Mm-hmm.
He understood my tears. I was 29 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. I was tired. I was hurt. I was angry. I was messed up. It seemed like I didn't have anything to live for. And I told my ex-fiance the night before, I said, there's got to be something better than this. I don't know what it is, but it's got to be better than this. Oh, praise God. And that morning, that Mother's Day morning, I gave my life to the Lord. I have not went back. I got filled with the Holy Ghost about 2 days later, maybe I think it was a Wednesday night, and it was a man had just got out of prison. And God had saved him in Stillwater Prison. He's gone to be with the Lord now. And the way he described, he said they told him that if he ever got out, he would be an old man. He was in there for life. And he said the Lord stepped into his cell, and he fell on his knees. And the way he was describing the murder, I'm sitting there looking at him with hatred in my heart, wondering if this is the man that killed my children's dad. When he made the call for the Holy Ghost for prayer, I didn't even know anything about the Holy Ghost. God Almighty. And it just seemed like it was just taking him too long to pray for me. And I went into a corner, little Cracker Jack corner, and I raised my hands up. And I felt two strong hands reach down and stand me on my feet. I felt a finger poke me in my side twice. And I heard the devil say, look and see who it is. And I said, not me. And I told God these words, please don't leave me. I have never had this type of peace before. And the next thing I knew, Stephanie, I was in a little corner, bitty corner, just big enough for me. But I felt the power of God. And when I hit the floor, Jesus was standing in back of me, and I fell right into the arms of Christ.
Oh, praise God.
And I felt him. I felt him cleaning me. I felt him from the inside out. I was not dressed to receive anything. I had just got through smoking a joint or marijuana. But I knew that when I got up off that floor, that I was a different woman.
Yes. Amen.
God. I knew that I had a high that marijuana and cocaine and the uppers and the downers and the booze, I knew that I had a love that no man could fulfill.
Yes.
And I knew that I had joy. That night I was drunk in the spirit, and God delivered me from drugs and alcohol. The last thing he delivered me from was cigarettes and fornication.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. God delivered you. He took you from a low place and put you in a high place. Right,
yes,
by
ma'am.
His side. Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am.
I thank God for the testimony that God is able to take us where we cannot take ourselves. He is able to deliver us from what we cannot get free from. He is able to take out of us what is in us. Because I'm going to tell you, you cannot fix yourself. You cannot heal yourself. You cannot clean yourself. You can't even make yourself repent except the Holy Ghost do it for you. You can't do anything without Jesus. And I thank God for your testimony of the truth of that. That is a testimony of God's power. And I praise the Lord for how he touched you. And now you're sharing with us the touch of God will change it all. The touch of God will set us free. It is the touch of God that will change us in a moment. It is one touch, and we will be changed for a lifetime. And I thank God for that testimony of the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus,
and you know what the
hallelujah.
Awesome, And you know what the awesome thing is about it, Stephanie? Is growing up, we called them holy rollers back then. I was a paper girl. I was the only Afro-American girl in Minnesota that had a paper route.
Okay.
And two of my customers were sanctified folks. And I didn't know that the mother and daughter were praying for me as a little girl. God bless me. The mother had gone on to be with the Lord. But the daughter was still living. And when I saw her one day, I got on the bus and I saw her, and I told her what had happened. She said, "Mother and I always knew there was something special about you."
Oh.
And I didn't know. My husband brought something back to my attention Sunday when he ministered on Mother's Day, and he ministered about Hannah. But when I ran away from home, my mother's words to me were, "I have put you in the hands of God, and I'm not going to worry about you anymore." My husband brought out something. He said, when pastor's mom told her that she had put her in the hands of God, he said she literally took her to the temple and left her there. Oh, my God. He said she did like Hannah. She gave her to the Lord. And now look at her. I am living proof that God can't, no man, I know we got rehabs and all those, but I was in rehab. And rehab didn't do a thing for me except make me get more addicted on drugs. This is me. I had nervous breakdowns. Nobody kept me in my mind but God. My children were in and out of foster homes. They had threatened to take my children from me. But God gave me back all my six precious babies. We can dress up. I would dress up the outside, but on the inside, I was miserable. I was tore up from the floor up. And we can dress up the outside, but on the inside, if we admit it, we are all tore up from the floor up.
Yes.
Drugs was my way of escape, because that way I didn't have to deal with the things that were going on. I could get high. I stayed high 365 days, 24 hours a day. I always took care of my children. My children never lacked for anything. But the pain, I wanted the pain to stop.
Yeah.
And the only way I knew then what I thought was suicide. But God said, "You shall live and not die." Hallelujah. And I have friends who are not here today because of drug overdoses and so on. But I'm still here to tell the story. No one, we can do everything we want to, but no one can do us like Jesus.
No one.
No one. No one. No one. I tell you, Stephanie, I am now 68 years young. I said, "Lord, I wish I had got saved when I was younger." But God knows the right time, the right season, the right month, the right hour, and everything. And that day it was my time, my season, and my hour.
Yes, amen.
And just one touch from the Master's hand, from 29 up until 68, I've been with the Lord. Have I messed up? Yes. But I've repented. And He's forgiven me. I've cried out for mercy. And mercy has said yes. The blood has cleansed me. And He took a streetwalker, a nobody, and He has picked me up, made me a woman of God, and put His word in my mouth. And the awesome thing about it is He has given me He has placed people for me to minister to. He has made me a shepherd of people.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Mm. Pastor Muriel, we're going to take a break in just a minute, and when we come back, we want you to share a word from the Lord with us. But before we do that, I want you to tell me, tell the audience, because you and I have already spoken, but I want you to tell us what makes Wings of Faith Healing and Deliverance Ministry different. There's something really special about the ministry that you have there, or that God, let me rephrase that, it's God's ministry, it's never ours. But mm-hmm. what is different about God's ministry there in Clarksville? Would you please share with us?
Every Sunday is different. The Lord never moves the same way. There are some Sundays when we are having worship, and I would just tell my husband to play a certain song, and I watch people as the Spirit of the Lord moves upon them, and I see them begin to weep. There are times when I won't even have to minister unto them because the presence of God is so strong. Then there are times when people will come up and they'll tell me they want prayer. I've seen people come up and tell me they were doing so on and so on and so on, and the Spirit of the Lord has come upon them. There are times when I'm laid out on the floor, and I'm thinking to myself, somebody walk in here and see me laid out on the floor, they're saying, I thought they were having church. But God reminded me that it is church,
yeah.
And I'm just stretched out. Our ministry is one where we believe in casting out demons. We believe in deliverance. Our ministry is a deliverance ministry. And we love, genuinely love people.
Yes.
We don't have musicians, but we have the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
And that's what makes the difference.
Yes. Amen. That's what I love. I love, love, love the part when you, because you told me the other day when we were speaking about you being on the floor, and the Lord reminded you, that is real church. Church is us ministering to Him, and then Him ministering to us.
Yes.
And that starts from it starts with the head. It starts with the head,
yes.
And goes down. And my desire is for pastors, because we love our pastors. They have a lot on them. For pastors to get the ministry they need from the Lord and not feel that weight or that burden to make the service happen. The burden is on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And if we'll just get out of the way and let Him have His way, there's no telling what He'll do, is there? There's no telling what He'll do.
No telling. And that's what we tell them. When we come in, my husband and I, before we got into the ministry, we always said that if God ever called us into the ministry, it wasn't ours, it was His. We're just the butler and the maid, and we take orders from the chief, and that's the way we've done it. We've always let the Spirit of the Lord have His way. There have been times when God came in, and I would tell everybody, okay, God did what He wanted to do. Everybody go home, because if I preach, it's going to be the flesh.
Yes.
God has done what He wanted to do, so everybody go home. And I have to make them leave because nobody wants to go. And I'll tell them, hey, I'm gonna leave the key, and when y'all get ready, y'all just go on home. You know,
you got my heart. You got my heart on that. You're just the maid and the butler, and God tells you what to do. Man, that is the truth.
Yes.
That is the truth. Man, we get our orders from headquarters. It's not our way. It's His way.
Yeah,
I love that. You just don't know how much I love that, because so much gets done when we stop trying to do it. When
mm-hmm.
we stop trying to, okay, we got to preach, because some of the ministry I'm involved in, there's times we don't have any preaching because the Spirit of the Lord did the work. He did what He wanted to do. Souls were changed. Deliverance came. Or something powerful. Even the word came forth through prophecy, if that's how He chose to move.
Mm-hmm.
And we just let God have His way. And I really feel like that's the New Testament church, is just letting God have control and not being afraid to let God do what He wants. And I'm going to go to a commercial. And when we come back, Pastor Muriel, I want you to share what's on your heart with the people, with the bride listening and with the people listening. Please share what God has given you. Is that be okay?
I'd be glad to.
Okay, praise the Lord. We'll be back in just a minute.
All right.
Your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen.
Okay, amen. We're back. Sorry about that. I'm having a little trouble with this. My computer's messing up. I'm sorry. I just love June's heart to help people. And I'd heard her voice on that Visions. And I heard June's heart when I was listening to that commercial. June's got a heart to help people. And June doesn't always tell this. She did tell in her testimony. You know, the Lord, June had an opportunity to make a lot of money. And June chose to go the way God told her to go, and she's definitely not in it to make money, and she has a heart for ministry, but I just have to, it just touches my heart to know that people will give up money to follow the Lord, and I just thank you, June, for doing that. I know you'll listen to this later. Thank you, June, for doing that, and I love you, and we couldn't hear, we would not be hearing Pastor Muriel's testimony if somebody didn't get the vision to say, hey, there are ministers out there. They don't have big names, but they've got a big story. And God put that on June's heart. And June had to give up a lot for this to come to pass. And I just thank God for that we can hear about Pastor Muriel and into prostitution, into drugs, and her powerful encounter with the Lord. And Pastor Muriel, I have to believe that you're helping people today. They don't know how to get out.
Yes, yes.
And from your story, you've been in it as deep as anybody. From what I can tell, you've been into it as deep as anyone. And if God can bring you out of that demonic side, and that's exactly what it is, if God can bring you out of the darkness into the light, he can bring anybody into the light, can't he?
Amen, 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 amen. And, you know, that's just the tip of what I went through and what I dealt with, you know, and we don't know the depths of what goes on in our families, but God does. And I just want to say this, that last year, August 29th, I got free of that bondage of where I had gave part of my life to a dead man.
Mm.
I did not know. I thought I was free from it. I thought that, you know, I'm saved now and, you know, everything is done with. But I was having tormenting dreams about him, and I never shared them with my husband. And when I went home to do a revival, I shared it with him. And I didn't even know where he was buried, Stephanie, because I did not even go to the burial site. Mm-hmm. My children were the ones that found out. And the day that we were coming back home here, my husband said, wife, he said, we're going to go and we're going to find out where he's at. And I said, no, I said, that's okay. Let's just go home. I saw this man get out of our car, walk the graveyard trying to find another man's grave.
Mm.
And I said, God, what kind of man have you given me here that would do this? We couldn't find it. So we went back that next day on our way back here, back home here. And I got out the car. The men met us at the grave site. We were like just a hop away from it. And they met us at the grave site. And that day, August 29th, 9 o'clock in the morning, I took back what I had sent to the grave with that man. I was released. And now I can say that I love my husband with all my heart. I don't have those tormenting dreams anymore. I've been set free from a taproot bondage, from a soul tie that I carried with me from the age of 18 all the way up until 68. And I thought I was free. But now I can say I'm free.
Yes.
Yes. And the word that the Lord gave me this morning as I was laying there praying, he gave me Matthew 11 and verses 28 through 30. And it says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I was weary and I was burdened. There may be someone out there today and you are weary and you are burdened. And the Lord Jesus Christ is begging you to come to him and he will give you rest. He said, "All of you, take up my yoke and learn of me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves." A lot of people today, Stephanie, are looking for rest. They cannot find it in loose living. They can't find it in drugs. They can't find it in a man or a woman. They can't find it because the world doesn't have that type of rest. That rest only comes from God.
Yeah.
And then he said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When I came to Christ, I had a heavy yoke of sin around my neck. I had a heavy burden upon me. But when I came to him, he removed that yoke by the anointing, and he lifted my heavy burden. The scripture says, "Cast all your cares upon me because I love you." I used to think as a little girl that God was some big ogre sitting up there waiting to pounce on me. But when I found out that he is a loving father, that he loves me no matter what, and that if I let go and let God, he'll do whatever I need to have him to do.
Yes.
And I want to share and speak to someone today because I feel like there is someone that you have tried everything and nothing has worked. I beg you, I beseech you today to come to Jesus. He'll take your weariness and he'll take your burdens. And he'll not only lift them, but he'll carry them for you. Because we can't carry a heavy load, but he can. I'm reminded of the song that says, he ain't heavy, he's my brother.
Yes.
He's our brother. And there is someone that God wants you to have peace of mind today. You're being tormented. You can't sleep. You have no rest and you have no peace. But the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for you to come. He wants to deliver you and set you free. You can't find it in drugs. You can't, and it doesn't matter what you've done. He loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you like you are. I'm living proof. Some of you, you may have been told you can't come home. You feel like you're a castaway. But I'm here to share with you today that when you come to Christ, he will in no ways cast you out. He'll take you with your drugs. He'll take you with your prostitution. It doesn't matter. He loves you. That's the thing that counts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that if you were the only one here, Jesus still would have came for you. I plead with you. Let him in your heart. You may say, well, I've been to church and nothing happened. I tell my folks in church, when you come into the house of the Lord, come expecting God to do something for you.
Yes.
Go to the house. You don't even have to be in church. You can fall on your face right where you are right now. You can pull over your car right now. And you can say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Do what you want to do with me. I've tried everything else. I might as well go on and try you.
Yes.
But I guarantee you this, that once you try me, you'll never turn back. And that's what God has given me today.
Praise the Lord. God said, whosoever will, let him come. And just like Pastor Muriel, some of you may have been cast out of the house. You were told to leave. Maybe you were even thrown out of church. But I want to tell you there's a place you can come, a place you can run to, a mother's arms who will hold you, and that is Jesus Christ. He will be your mother, your father. When your parents forsake you, he said he will take you in, and the Lord wants to accept you and hold you into his bosom. And I pray right now, Lord, if there be anybody hearing this, anybody, Father, just like she said, Father, that needs that rest, Lord, I pray right now that your actual arms will hold them, that you would send forth that anointing, Father, to fill them up, that anointing would touch them from the top of the head to the soles of their feet. Father, they would feel a warm inward feeling in their heart, Father, a warm oil to come into their heart and heal them like the balm of Gilead. I pray for a healing, a warmth to come into their heart even right now as they cry out to you, God. Because, God, you said, Father, you will give them rest. And, Father, I thank you. You will give them rest. And there is a purpose for their life. But, Father, they will not find that purpose until they turn it all over to you. So, Father, I lift up those people right now so that they don't have a purpose. And, Father, I lift up the brokenhearted to you, Lord. And, Lord, I do believe you're sending forth your anointing oil for the spirit of gladness to come upon them, Lord. And, Father God, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for it is you and you alone. It is your ministry, Father, and not ours. It's your anointing and not ours. It's all about you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this, Father. We bless you for it, God. And Pastor Muriel, do you have anything else you want to say before we bless you? We always end the program with blessing the minister. Do you have anything else you feel led to say?
I just want to say this. I identify with Mary Magdalene. That's my girl. And if there are any Mary Magdalenes out of there, I want to share this with you. If God could take me, a prostitute, a lady of the street, a drug addict, and save me, and call me to be a pastor,
yes,
an evangelist, and to take his word all over, he can do the same for you, baby.
Yes.
Your testimony can set people free. I don't care if you're male or female. I don't care wherever you at. You can be in the lotus of Lodabar. He will come to Lodabar and get you.
Yes.
I'm a witness to it. That he will, as the song says, take something beautiful, make something beautiful out of your life.
Yes.
In all of your confusion, he understood. He understands, and he will make something beautiful out of your life.
Yes, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I love that when you said he understood even in your confusion. Isn't that the truth? We get so confused, but yet God, it says even to him, darkness is light. And all that confusion that we feel, when we feel like the darkness is on us so heavy that we cannot see the hand in front of our face, he understands. He sees everything just like it is. He sees the brokenness, and he can make sense out of it, and we cannot. And I love that. That speaks to me. Oh, it's so powerful. I love that. Thank you so much. I love that. I feel the Spirit. And Father, we're going to bless Pastor Muriel and Pastor Michael, that your husband, we're going to bless you. And so we always ask the bride of Christ that's listening, if you just hold your hands up and come into agreement with us at WATB Radio, we want to lift up the mission of Pastor Muriel and Pastor Michael. And we know it's not their mission, but it's God's mission. So we're not just blessing them. We are, but we're blessing the Lord and what he's doing in their life and their town and their community. And Father, we bless what they're doing. Father, we extend our hand of faith. We extend our hand of blessings. And Father, we say we love you. And you said in your word that you would not come until we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Father, we say we are blessed to have them in the body of Christ. We are blessed to hear the words you have spoken out of their mouth, because they are one. She and he are one. It came out of their mouth, and we are blessed to hear those words that they spoke today in the radio broadcast. And we say we're blessed. Thank you for your ministers. Thank you for this ministry. Father, we pray for abundance to come to them. We pray for resources, for strength, for the tools, for the people. Lord, even the musicians that they need. Father, we pray that your hand be extended over this ministry. And Father, we pray for favor to fall upon them. And Father, we believe that favor is coming their way. That's why you had them on the radio. Favor is coming their way. They're already favored. But, oh God, we thank you for even more favor. And Father, we bless. We Camden, Tennessee, even blesses what's happening in Clarksville, Tennessee. I speak on behalf of Camden, Tennessee, and I say we bless what is happening in Clarksville, Tennessee, and I believe those blessings will pour right back over our head in Camden. And so, Father, we thank you for all the many ministries you have out there, and we thank you especially for this one. And so, Father, we at WATB say we love you, Lord, and we pray that we will make your name famous today. We pray we'll lift your name on high. We pray, Father, that we'll make you proud by bending down low and serving you. And it's all in your name we pray. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Muriel. I love your ministry. I love Deliverance Ministry. And we're going to go off the air. You got any final word to say before you say goodbye?
I just want to say that I love you. I thank God for June being obedient and just doing what God has called her to do. Amen. And I will keep you up in prayer, and I'm looking forward to meeting you all in person. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. God bless you, Bride of Christ. The Lord loves you. And if you're hurting out there, there's a God who will come and get you in Lodibar. And we bless you today. In Jesus' name. Until next time, this is Stephanie Daniel at WATV. Blessings.
Amen.
Recording has started.
Are you there?